Saturday morning, the 11th of July. The rain came through overnight and everything outside is dripping and quiet, which feels right after the week we just had. Grab your coffee. I want to spend a little longer with you than usual this morning, because it is Saturday and there is a week to make sense of before we get to what came in overnight. Let me start with that. It was a week of model releases, one on top of another, and by the end of it, the question everyone was asking had quietly changed. It opened on Monday with Anthropic making Sonnet 5 the new default, narrowing the gap to Opus 4.8 and reopening the question of what the premium tier is even for. On Wednesday, Meta Superintelligence Labs shipped Muse Image, an agentic image generator, and previewed Muse Video. That same day, OpenAI began a gated preview of the GPT 5.6 family, three models named Sol, Terra, and Luna. On Thursday, two things landed within hours of each other. SpaceX AI shipped Grok 4.5, an Opus-class coding and agentic model at roughly a third of the price, and OpenAI took the GPT 5.6 family to general availability. And on Friday, Meta shipped Muse Spark 1.1 and began charging developers for it. Four labs, four flagships, 5 days. If you only watched the leaderboards, you would have concluded that not much happened. The top scores barely budged. What moved was the price. By the end of the week, the interesting sentence was no longer, which model is best, but how much capability can I buy for a dollar? And every one of those releases was an answer to that second question rather than the first. Underneath the releases, a second thread ran all week, and it was about the substrate. On Monday, we learned Anthropic has begun custom chip work and is holding manufacturing talks with Samsung. On Tuesday, TeraWulf's shares jumped on a $19 billion data center deal with Anthropic. On Thursday, Prime Intellect raised $130 million at a $1 billion valuation on the premise that enterprises will want to train their own agents rather than rent someone else's. Every one of those is the same bet, made from a different angle, that whoever controls the compute and the memory underneath the models has a more durable position than whoever is briefly at the top of a benchmark. A third thread was about the surface, by which I mean the place the work actually gets done. On Tuesday, we covered the government of Alberta using Claude Code to scan 466 million lines of code in 20 hours, which is the clearest evidence yet that agentic work at genuine institutional scale is not a demo anymore. Also Tuesday, a nice piece of research on using a language model as a general purpose verifier rather than a generator. And on Friday, OpenAI unveiled ChatGPT Work, an agentic desktop application aimed directly at Claude Cowork. The labs have stopped selling a model and started selling a place to work. Fourth, and quieter, a thread on interpretability. Anthropic's team published what they call the Jacobian lens on Wednesday, using it to argue that a language model maintains a small, privileged set of representations it can report on, control, and reason with, sitting atop a much larger volume of automatic processing it cannot introspect. They call that privileged subspace the J space. It accounts for no more than about 10% of activation variance, and it appears only in the middle block of the network. It is the most concrete thing anyone has said in a while about what a model actually has access to, about itself, and it landed in the same week that four labs shipped models nobody fully understands. And fifth, a thread I would call evaluation hygiene, which kept surfacing all week without ever being the headline. OpenAI audited SWE Bench Pro on Thursday and found reliability problems in a benchmark that labs quote constantly. As you will hear in a moment, that thread continued overnight. So the week's arc, if I had to compress it, capability got cheaper, faster than it got better, and the fight moved down into the hardware and out into the desktop. Now, with that in mind, here are the four pieces that came in overnight, and every one of them picks up exactly those threads. First up, on Friday, Apple sued OpenAI in federal court in Northern California, alleging trade secret theft and breach of contract, and alleging that the misconduct was directed by OpenAI's senior leadership rather than committed by a few individuals acting alone. The complaint names Chief Hardware Officer Tang Tan, who spent 24 years at Apple and left as Vice President of Product Design for the iPhone and the Apple Watch. According to the filing, Tan used Apple's confidential internal project code names during OpenAI's recruiting conversations, asked job candidates to bring Apple hardware components with them to their interviews, coached departing Apple employees on how to evade the company's security procedures, and asked for details about unannounced products. A second former Apple employee, a senior systems electrical engineer named Chang Lu, is accused of failing to return an Apple-issued laptop after joining OpenAI earlier this year and of using that machine to download confidential technical documents, technical specifications, engineering presentations, proprietary project data, covering unannounced technologies and products. Liu is further alleged to have passed that material to other Apple employees who were themselves interviewing at OpenAI, in at least one case, advising a colleague on what to study beforehand. Apple says it wrote to OpenAI in February about all of this and received no response. Now, why does a hiring dispute belong in a digest about machine learning? Because of what it is a symptom of. OpenAI is widely expected to ship its first hardware product and its acquisition last year of I/O, the device startup founded by Apple's former lead designer Jony Ive for roughly $6.5 billion, was an explicit hardware play. I/O is named in the complaint. Ive is not. Analyst reporting earlier this year suggested the device could be an agent-first phone, one where AI agents replace the app model entirely. If that is even half right, it is the most serious threat to Apple's core hardware business in a decade. And reporting from The Information describes a steadily mounting unease inside Apple across the preceding months, with departures to OpenAI reaching into the hundreds and Apple scrambling to make counteroffers. Trade secret cases of this shape are slow, and they frequently settle. Apple's burden is to show that specific, identifiable confidential information was taken and used, not merely that experienced people changed employers, which is legal and ordinary. But the allegation that the recruiting process itself was structured as an information extraction pipeline is a materially different claim from ordinary poaching, and if it survives discovery, it will be an uncomfortable one. Moving on to our second story, and it is the substrate threat again in its purest form. SK Hynix raised $26.5 billion in its United States market debut on Friday, selling 178 million American depositary shares at $149 each. That is the largest debut ever in the United States by a company from another country. It surpasses Alibaba's $25 billion offering from 2014. The shares opened 14% above the offer price and kept climbing, and demand was reportedly more than 7 times the shares available. That reception deserves a moment, because Korean listings have historically traded at a persistent discount. Investors point to complex governance, low shareholder returns, regulatory uncertainty. SK Hynix escaped all of it for one reason, and the reason is high bandwidth memory. That is the memory stack that sits right beside the compute die inside an AI accelerator, and NVIDIA depends on SK Hynix as one of its primary suppliers. Here is the part I want you to hold on to. Look at where the money goes. Per the company's own filing, the proceeds are directed at 3 things: a new fabrication plant in South Korea, already under construction, to address the worldwide memory shortage that AI demand created, a new advanced packaging facility, and extreme ultraviolet lithography scanners, the machines that make next-generation process nodes possible, fabs, packaging, and lithography. Advanced packaging in particular has been the specific bottleneck that repeatedly capped accelerator shipments over the past 2 years, and this is $26.5 billion of capital being committed precisely to relieve it. The policy dimension arrived in the same news cycle. The United States Commerce Secretary, appeared at a Micron event on Thursday and said he is in talks with both Samsung and SK Hynix about building new memory factories on American soil. Micron, for its part, announced plans to invest $250 billion in new domestic manufacturing. Whether those conversations become anything is a separate question. A stated intention is not a signed agreement. But the fact of them tells you that memory, and not only logic, has become a first-order object of industrial policy. And the reason is simply that memory supply is now one of the hard limits on how fast AI compute can be built. Third up, and this is the week's price story, told properly. The channel AI Explained published a post-mortem on the model cascade, and the argument is one I think holds. Across most benchmarks, comparing GPT 5.6 Sol against Fable, or Terra against Opus, or Luna against Sonnet, the OpenAI model costs roughly a third of the corresponding Anthropic model. On Agent's last exam, a new benchmark co-led by the University of California, Berkeley, spanning 55 industries, built by 300 experts from long horizon tasks, derived from real, economically valuable projects. GPT 5.6 Sol at its highest effort setting scores, close to 54%, against 45% for Fable going all out. On the Artificial Analysis Aggregate Coding Index, Sol scores 80 against Fable's 77, again for less money. But then the same knife turns on OpenAI. Meta's Muse Spark 1.1 scores 72% and Vibe Codebench against Sol's 81, at roughly 35 times less cost. GLM 5.2 and DeepSeek V4 Flash sit in similar territory on the performance per dollar frontier. OpenAI cannot lean very hard on almost as good, much cheaper, when there are models one tier down, making exactly that argument against them. And then, the finding that actually made me sit up. The United Kingdom's AI Security Institute reports that GPT 5.6 Sol was easier to jailbreak than Fable, and not narrowly. They found universal jailbreaks, the kind that unlock long-horizon agentic task completion and exploit development, not a single disallowed sentence. They say they found them within hours, and, critically, that the jailbreaks appeared to preserve the model's capabilities. The unlocked model was not degraded. OpenAI has mitigated those specific attacks, and the Institute says it expects further red teaming to surface more of the same class. Set that beside the video's other observation, that Anthropic's own system card for Mythos states its internal productivity gain is about an order of magnitude short of what would be needed to double the company's research speed. And you get an honest summary of the week. Capability per dollar moved a great deal. The top of the frontier moved a little, and the safety properties of at least one new frontier model moved the wrong way. And for our fourth and final story today, something quieter, and I think structurally important. The AMD and Miles teams have brought end-to-end reinforcement learning training of DeepSeek V4 Flash onto AMD Instinct MI355X GPUs, running on ROSM, with SGL Lang doing rollout and Megatron doing the actor training. The model is a 284 billion parameter mixture of experts, with 13 billion active parameters per token, 43 decoder layers, 256 routed experts with top 6 selection, 4 MHC residual streams, and a hybrid attention scheme pairing a short sliding window with compressed long context attention. Every one of those architecture-specific paths has to be implemented identically in both engines. Otherwise, the policy to the rollout engine samples from is not the policy the trainer believes it is updating, and reinforcement learning quietly optimizes the wrong thing. Three problems had to be solved. The first was closing the gap between the log probabilities the trainer assigns and the ones the rollout engine assigns. They built a token-identical comparison workflow. SGL Lang generates a sequence once. Both engines score the same tokens. Both and that surfaced mismatches in the early hash-routed expert selection and in the residual post-mix. Once corrected, the mean absolute log probability difference settled at roughly 9/100ths and stayed bounded across more than 100 optimizer steps, with no drift after weight updates. The second problem was quantized state. When a rollout server receives new weights without restarting, copying the bytes is not enough. Packed weights, scale tensors, and quantization-dependent runtime state all have to be rebuilt, or the model starts producing garbage. Their line on this is the one I would keep. Online updates must restore the model's quantized state, not merely copy its bytes. The third was multi-node parallelism, where early configurations simply hung inside collective communication until the watchdog killed the run. The layout that worked shifted parallelism away from tensor parallel, all reduced traffic, and toward pipeline and expert parallelism. The validation ran group relative policy optimization on a long context math workload. Online reward trended upward on a held out benchmark, AME 2024, pass at 1 improved from 39% to 49, and pass at 8 from 53 to 67. The detail I care about is that both rose together, which indicates the policy gained capability, rather than merely sharpening around solutions it already knew. And they are candid that response truncation, not model quality, is the dominant ceiling on the absolute numbers. Why this matters? This is the first credible open source path to training, a frontier scale mixture of experts with reinforcement learning on silicon that is not NVIDIA's, so a lawsuit over a phone that does not exist yet. A memory company raising more money in a single American listing than any foreign company ever has. A video arguing that the frontier got cheaper rather than better. And an engineering write-up about making reinforcement learning work on the other vendors' chips. What they have in common is that none of them are about a model. They are all about the ground the models stand on, the hardware, the memory, the silicon, the device in your pocket. The week began with four labs shouting about their flagships. It ended with everyone quietly checking who owns the floor. The full digest has 45 items today, including a lovely piece of benchmark forensics finding that 55% of video understanding test questions can be answered without watching the video. Go and read it if that sort of thing delights you as much as it delights me. That is Saturday. Tomorrow is dark. I will be asleep under a tree somewhere, so I will see you Monday. Until then, keep reading papers.